And welcome to Grounded with Brandon and Craig. I am your host, Brandon.
Are you sure?
I don't know where that came from.
And I'm the most, Craig.
Welcome.
Hey, Craig. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. The weather is back to
dismal
Christmas, you know, so
did you know?
I did know. I did know. Yeah, what?
Today is the last official day of winter.
Is it now?
But yet...
Let's just go back into Christmas. I'm ready.
Just pretty much where we're at.
You know who this is?
It's beginning to look a lot like
you know it.
Christmas.
Yeah.
That is, this is Andy Williams?
No. You know what? This podcast is over.
Who is that?
Johnny Mathis.
Johnny
bro.
Mathis.
Come
Johnny
on.
Johnny Mathis. That's all we listen to is that style of music.
But Christmas. You don't know who he is.
I couldn't remember.
Johnny Mathis.
Andy Williams does like practically all of the Christmas songs anyways.
Yeah, he does. So does Perry Como.
And Perry Como.
And Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and
Taylor
Swift. You know, all those people.
Well, you were on a roll there until you got to the last one. The other guys were good.
He was like, blah.
I love Bing or Nat King Cole.
I thought you were going to say Taylor and I was going to knock you out.
Negative.
Anyway, you were saying...
Yeah, today is apparently the last official day of winter.
Awesome. And it's 30, so perfect.
I saw a... Did we talk about this a couple weeks ago? I saw a little cartoon on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lion and a lamb. And above, it had these two doors. One was an indoor and one was an out, and it said March. And you know the old saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb.
Yes.
And they were like, hey, how about if we fool them this year and you go in and I go out? And meaning the lamb was going to go in, the lion was coming out.
Yeah,
like,
you did send me that. Yeah,
yeah, we're pretty much there. Because it did. Remember the first couple of days of March was like 70?
Oh, yeah.
73?
I mean, last week was pretty nice. I mean, we were in the 60s, like mid to upper 60s, and that was nice. But not so much this week. I mean, we're in the 40s and like I saw tomorrow
40s,
or Wednesday.
Today's not even getting out of the 30s.
No, 32 is the high. And then, like Wednesday is like a high of 40 with like 25 mile an hour winds. So it'll feel like 10.
Hmm.
So, I'm patiently waiting for the spring weather to come.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But in other news.
We celebrated birthdays last week.
We did celebrate birthdays last week.
And went to...
Texas Day Brazil.
On Friday night. That was nice.
It was very good.
And we were like one of the... We literally...
We were the first
the
people
first
there.
Ones there.
First people
sit down.
Yep.
And we sit... It was like we were like in the palace of King David.
It was
They brought out everything at one time. And I was like, yes, we had
just got back with our salad plates.
And my lobster bisque.
And your lobster bisque. Dude, okay. Those mushrooms
were phenomenal.
They were very good.
Best mushrooms I've ever had.
Cooked mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But anyway, so like we just sat down. Like I took one bite of salad and a guy shows up. And
would you like filet mignon?
I think it was...
Would you like wild turkey? Would you like...
What was it? It was the first
flank
one that...
Flank steak or...
No, it wasn't flank. It was pecana.
Yeah.
Pecana.
That's not my favorite.
It's okay.
It's not my favorite.
Okay, now that one for me... Because I got the very first slice off of it. That was a good piece because it was like a crusty edge of and fat.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like...
Well, I got a piece that looked like they just went out into a field and chopped off the hindquarters of a cow and put it on my plate because I had to get a new plate because it was like, it was a half inch of blood in there. And I was like, okay, I need a new plate.
Those are the best ones.
No. Not for me.
Yeah, they came around.
But what New York Strip...
You like the New York Strip.
Really good.
I liked the cheapest cut of meat there. The flank steak. Allie did
actually,
that was her favorite.
That was actually good too. The flank steak was really good.
But it was funny because our
the
waiter.
Was good.
The filet was very good.
Yeah. Now,
the bacon wrapped chicken was really good.
Super good.
And the little chicken legs, the little chicken drumsticks.
Little chicken legs. And then there was the ribs, which, they were fine.
They were okay.
They were hot.
I do ribs better on my grill.
I think so.
They weren't.
I couldn't describe it. There was a lot of bone and not a lot of meat on mine. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't probably get that again. I don't like the lamb. So I
no,
bypassed
we didn't
the
get lamb.
Lamb.
The poor guys with the lamb. Every time they come to our table, they got like four nose.
No,
it was like
no.
But
the little sausages.
Those are the best.
Oh my goodness, those are good.
I had two of them.
Yeah, I might have had two. I had a lot. More than I ate more that night than I've eaten probably in 3 days prior. That was crazy.
Really?
But it was good though.
It was good.
It was really good. So, you know.
See, we have protein every night. So like that's.
Well, I mean, I do too, but.
Nothing new. But not like, that amount.
Not like 200 grams like we ate or 500 grams or right? whatever. That was a lot.
It was a lot.
That was a lot.
I'm not really worried as much going there about the protein intake as much as I am of the sodium intake because of the seasoning they put on those things. It's like,
yeah,
it's just like you're drinking out of a salt shaker.
Yeah, exactly. Just pour the Morton's back and roll with it.
Let it go. But no, it was good. It was, it was nice. It was a great, way to celebrate my birth because that was actually my physical birthday.
That was your birthday. We should have told them so they could have come over with like a gong symbol or something like that and saying happy birthday and giving you a free, you know, whipped cream cake or something.
Almost. We almost got our arms chopped off.
That's true. That guy had, what was that thing he had?
He had a knife and he was cutting a piece of meat and trying to slide it because they have these little, little plates that they have underneath to catch it. And he went to slide it down. Well, he was right on the edge of the corner between you and I.
Yeah.
And that plate started to go.
And caught it.
And you and I both reached over and I caught it and you were right there too. Like it wasn't going to hit the ground.
Surprising he didn't skewer your hand.
His knife was right there.
And that's a big skewer.
And our server was right there too. He goes, great catch.
Exactly. Yeah. It was good. We had a great time. I mean, your daughter wanted you home by 7 o'clock and you had to be pretty darn close.
I wasn't far behind.
7:30?
Got home and was able to watch the Carolina game with her. Right. And so March Madness is officially here. The madness has begun for us because, you know, we should have won the ACC tournament and North Carolina State just run right over us.
And Kentucky just was terrible Friday night.
Kentucky laid an egg Friday night.
I mean, they were absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And Tennessee was terrible too. I mean, they got blown away. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they ran neck and neck with us, you know, a week ago. So, yeah. And that one dude, Tennessee. My goodness, the dude had like, seemed like he had 19 three-point. I mean, he hit every single one he shot that night against Kentucky.
I get tired of
the
watching
them. The
dude
had 44 points or something that night. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, I get tired of watching them because that's all you hear about. Like, he's awesome. I mean, he's a good player.
You're jealous, aren't you?
No.
I can see it in your eyes. He's jealous, guys. I can see it right here in his eyes.
I am not jealous.
Okay.
But anyways, I was watching.
Change the subject.
I was watching the SEC championship yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that?
No, dude. I don't have that kind of TV. I just stream everything.
So
I'm,
you should have
I'm not like rich folk who have like satellite and all that kind of stuff. I don't make that much money.
Don't have satellite.
You got like cable.
It's through Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
I stream it.
Look at you.
Yeah. But anyways, praying for this guy. I don't even know the kid's name, but Florida had a player go down within the first couple minutes. I don't know what happened. They came back and said that it was a lower leg ankle injury. They had taken him to Vanderbilt. He was bleeding. I'm pretty sure he either broke his lower leg or broke his ankle and his bone popped out the skin.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They cut the, you could have heard a pin drop in that stadium. Like everybody was on their feet. And just quiet.
Oh, that was a.
They brought his parents out of the stands, like, not good. Put an air cast on his leg, guarded him off, took him to. They were in Nashville, Tennessee for their tournament.
Right.
Took him to Vanderbilt University, to the hospital. And,
my.
If I had to guess, he probably had surgery.
Oh, my. I never knew that. I didn't even see that on the thing. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome.
Wow.
I was trying to eat lunch and about didn't finish it. Thankfully, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yikes.
But, so anyways, prayers going out for that guy. That's a tough way to, and he's one of their starters, so he's a good ball player. Tough way to end your season there.
Thank you for bringing us up here on Grounded
today.
Hey,
you're
welcome. Yeah, wow.
But anyway, so March Madness is here. And
it is here. It's mad. It's March.
It's mad.
The weather is mad. The basketball's mad. You're half mad.
Craig's
I'm mad because of the weather. Yeah. It's
you're,
March.
You're
madness.
Mad because of the weather. I'm more just like the Mad Hatter.
Exactly. Oh, and other news, baseball news. Joey Votto signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. And yesterday, his first pitch, first at bat, he cranked it out. There you go. Blue Jays on their way. So you're a Blue Jay fan now, aren't you?
No. He's either going to hit a home run or strike out.
Pretty much. He's only going to do about 10 of them a year anymore. So he didn't,
Exactly.
But he was so amped up, you could just tell that he was just something was going to happen.
And I didn't realize that. You told me he's from Canada.
From Canada. He's about 20 miles away. In fact, if you go online, you just Google images, Joey Votto, Toronto Blue Jays, shows him as a baby with, it says, Toronto Blue Jays fan.
Awesome.
With a bib on. So he grew up as a Toronto Blue Jays fan.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
So now he's playing.
Good way to.
His
good
last
way to
year.
Go out, yeah.
Most generally, he probably have some kind of superb year where they'll be like, oh, let's sign him for one more year where he'll hit like 25 home runs and drive
right.
90 runs. So and who knows? I don't know, but.
And he'll lay an egg.
Exactly. So I don't know what he's going to do. He signed a minor league contract, but he is playing spring training right now.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So I know that our listeners, especially Sue and Allison, love to hear baseball talk, so we'll keep it going.
Okay.
Did you see who the Braves picked back up this year?
Jock Peterson.
Negative, but I would be so stoked about that. I would have
He's actually
you.
With the...
He's with the Giants.
No, he left the Giants.
Did he leave the Giants?
Uh-huh. I think he's with the... Arizona.
Is he?
Diamondbacks or something.
He needs to come back to the Braves.
Yeah, it is. Who did they pick up?
Adam Duvall.
Really?
Adam Duvall, but the last year he was with the Braves was the year that we won the World Series. He had a great season with us.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stoked about
it. What, he had like 30 home runs and hit like 167?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's the same. He hits either a home run or he strikes out 250
exactly.
times a year and hits 167. So
hey.
If you get a 200 batting average out of Adam Duvall, consider yourself a lucky man. Yeah. He's absolutely an atrocious hitter, but,
right.
He looks like he should be good, but
yeah,
I don't think he's a great fastball hitter. And this was the thing when he played for the Reds, great fastball hitter,
yep.
change up, curveball, anything
right.
else.
Yeah.
The dude can't hit
yep.
it. He just
exactly.
can't hit the change up stuff. So
yeah, we'll see. I was kind of excited to see him back. Some of those guys like that. You know, when you have a run and you win a World Series,
right.
it's like so good to see him back in a Braves uniform.
So. Was he on that team when Jock Peterson was on that team?
Yep.
You know it was Jock Peterson, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've told you that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And his pearl necklace.
It was something.
Something.
Yeah, so, baseball's starting up. I mean, we're like, what are we like?
A week or two out.
2 weeks out?
Yeah, I think 2 weeks out from
opening
day.
I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, time is going so fast. We're going to turn around. It's going to be summer.
I know.
So.
Well, I hope.
It would be summer, and it would be like, hey, welcome everybody, it's June 2nd, and it's 41 degrees.
Exactly.
yeah, because when it actually turns, it turns fast and hard. It's like, we go from 30, and then 2 weeks from now, be like, hey guys, welcome, it's hot and muggy, and it's 95, you know.
And Craig's
like,
complaining about that.
Exactly. I told you, I'm 14 days a year, I love the weather. We had one a couple days ago.
Right.
He's just shaking his head like, oh gosh.
I'm just gonna continue to call you Goldilocks.
Okay, Peppa.
We need to go on holiday.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
Oh, not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good day. So like Friday, we had our celebration earlier in the day. Friday, Allie and I went for a run together. And so that was good. Just a nice, easy run. We ran the path, the Jim Simmons Trail.
Right.
The same way that it was going to be for the 5K mm-hmm. on Saturday. So
correct.
That was good. We got to spend some time together doing that. And
good.
Then Jordan, Christian, Allie, and myself ran the 5K Saturday morning. The Union County Health Department did a really good job putting that Stay Active 5K on. The necklaces, or not necklaces, the medals were really neat this year. Because of the eclipse that's coming up, they created an eclipse.
Oh, nice.
Metal. And so it's got a sun with a moon in front of it, and it
nice.
Actually swivels. It's got a magnet in it.
Why are you not wearing it today?
Because I didn't reach my goal. I did get a PR, so I PR'd.
I don't know what a PR is.
Personal record.
Oh, okay.
PB, personal best, whatever, however you want to say it.
Okay.
Peanut butter. I ran 22:41, 5K.
That's it?
Exactly.
I'm teasing you.
My legs are so heavy right now from all the running I've been doing. I was wanting to shoot closer to a 20-minute 5K. And I think on a different course that would have been flatter, I would have been closer. But I still ended up finishing ninth overall out of 12 runners. No, I'm just kidding. I think there were like 238 runners.
And you were beaten by eight women?
One.
You sure?
One.
Okay.
15-year-old girl, Kennedy Ludwig. She goes North Union. She runs cross country and track. She was cruising.
Dude, I happen to remember last fall, some girl in clogs and a dress ran past you.
Highlight of my half marathon in Amish country. She was not wearing clogs. She was wearing running shoes.
Are you sure?
But I did get passed by a girl in a dress. It was awesome. So people are like, "Wouldn't you? Aren't you embarrassed about that?" I'm like, no. Who else can say that? I mean, quite a bit of other guys that day that ran.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it feels, it just feels so right when you say it.
Right. So I finished ninth Saturday and still didn't finish first in my age group.
Really?
Yeah. There was a 33-year-old guy that finished fifth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
33.
You know, the guy that won was 45.
Really?
The guy that finished behind me in 10th. Are you ready for this?
Hit me.
He finished a little over a minute slower than me. 69 years old.
Wow, look at him.
30 years older than me.
Wow.
And he finished 10th overall out of 230-some runners.
Wow, like, that's kudos good to good that for guy. Him. Good for him. He must run a lot.
I guess.
I quit running 20 years ago.
Someone was like, "Brandon, that's going to be you in 30 years. Like, I hope so. I hope I can still get after it. Maybe I'll get faster as I just don't have the legs that those guys have. Like, standing next to some of those people, their legs come up to my shoulders.
Well, that's something. Right?
That's a short person prob. Yeah, so, right. No, it was a good weekend. I thought yesterday was really good. I had a good, real good crowd.
Yeah,
good spirit.
Did. Yeah,
people singing. We sang a Christmas song.
We did. We just, did one of this week again because we're starting off with Christmas verses again.
We are not doing a Christmas song.
Oh,
this
what a
week.
Shame!
It is a shame
because we could have done like "O Come All You Faithful" or.
We could have.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to feel a lot
oh,
like
my
Christmas.
Word. Especially if it's 30 degrees.
It's still.
We should put the Christmas tree up.
We should. Yeah. But no, it was a good day. I thought, the message was good. We started into our Easter series. I've been getting dinged really hard lately because I keep saying Christmas.
Well, it's easy to, when you're starting off with Christmas verses and, our graphic has the manger, the cross, and the tomb. So, it's an easy thing to do and get mixed up in. But yeah, I thought yesterday was a good day. I heard we had a ton of kids next door and, that's really exciting. Children's ministry is getting the bigger room up and going. I think I heard they're painting this week and,
cause they're going to need it.
21 preschoolers in one room. This is a lot. That's a lot of kids in one room. I mean, especially preschool.
Like,
so
that is a blessing, but at the same time, like,
and a curse.
They probably went home thinking, what did I do to deserve that?
Exactly. So I heard that some of the classrooms were overloaded and a lot of new faces yesterday too. I don't know how many people we got that filled out cards or whatever, but man, I saw a ton of new faces yesterday.
Yeah, it's great.
And which was really good. So I thought the music was good and people sang well. And then I was down in the Connections Cafe. Were you down there yesterday? I mean, I couldn't even get down there.
I didn't go down, but
I could not, I got down by the prayer room and it was like starting to back up and I mean, they were lined around. I mean, it was like trying to be like at Disney World or Kings Island or someplace like that waiting to get in to do something. So it was a lot of people down there.
I don't go to Disney World. Don't ask my kids about that. They'll tell you
like,
how
does your dad not take
am.
You to Disney World? Kennedy. Every girl can be a princess. Well, you
and
know
every
that for a fact.
And every boy can too.
Exactly, right? 100%.
And that's why I am not going to Disney World. But anyway.
This is true. So how's that going to work when the new Frozen comes out for you guys and your family? Because Let It Go.
I love
You're just
Frozen
let it go?
Too. Like, I can't. I cannot support them.
So you are going to let
it
go.
Woke agenda.
Let it go.
I'm going to have to. I mean, there's been some other stuff. I want to see the new movie that's coming out, Arthur the King. And I'm not even sure who's putting it out, but it's got Mark Wahlberg in it. I know that he has moved his family from Hollywood. Matthew McConaughey did this past year as well, moved his family from Hollywood. I think he's back in Texas or somewhere south. Said that was the best decision he's ever made. But Mark Wahlberg did as well. I heard rumblings that Wahlberg was going to be starting his own production company. Because he was tired. He's a Catholic, but he was tired of all of Hollywood's agenda and all of that stuff. And so, but this movie looks good. It's about a dog and and him and some other guys that do a lot of like outdoor stuff, like rock climbing and hiking and biking and
a man and his dog.
A man and his dog. Well, you can't get no better than that.
Well, I guess you can't.
So
it's like Old Yeller. I mean,
right,
right.
Oh, that movie makes me cry.
Right, right.
Gosh.
So before we get into everything, we're drinking coffee as we always do.
We are,
and you have leveled up on. Today we're doing. What's the name of it?
7 weeks.
7 weeks,
coffee.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. It was good.
It's very good, yeah. And then the...
That's put out by...
7 weeks.
Oh, okay, so that's their own
company.
7 weeks
is the company. They're a company, they like 10 to 20% maybe of their, not just, I think, of like percentage of every bag bought goes back to, and I may be wrong on that, but something, they donate quite a bit.
Right.
To,
New Path or?
Not to New Path but, specifically, but to, pregnancy resource centers.
Correct.
Like that.
Yes. Yeah.
They
yes.
are super pro-life.
Yes.
So that is their, the shot of espresso that you drank was a Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like their coffee. Hemisphere is really good. And,
very good.
You know, like I told you guys, before, Anita and I actually went to Mechanicsburg to their place
I've never
sometime.
Been.
And
I gotta go.
We should go sometime. It's really good. Cozy place. Good coffee. I've never really.
Their coffee is very good.
And like we've talked before, they serve that in Marysville down at the
coffee hall.
At the coffee hall. So, haven't been down there in a while either.
I haven't either.
I've tried that.
I ran by it the other day.
I'm sure you did. You should have got a latte when you went by.
Didn't have my wallet.
Oh, they, you don't need it when you go by there. You just tell them who you are. Did
I do
you know that?
Them, but
I use it. I'm Brandon Chenault. They just hand me lattes as I go by.
Wow.
You're probably getting a tab
Right? You're special. Now, I could have
like, what?
I could have stopped at Tim Hortons. I ran by there last that one day and could have stopped there because I had my phone. And I've got, I can pay
on
my
phone.
Oh,
yeah, you can pay on it. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So. That's really good. So good coffee though.
I had, yeah, it was
and
good.
The shot of espresso, espresso is super super good. So, but yeah, we started off our Easter / Brandon's Christmas series yesterday, and so we just it's God with us and it's Jesus is that, and so we start off right off yesterday with Matthew 1:21-23, and she will have a son and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is actually the angel's words to Joseph, as he, you know, he is talking to Joseph, trying to say, look, this is what's going to take place and this is what's going to transpire. And then I love that, what, 700 years before Jesus
right.
was even born,
Isaiah 7:14
says the Lord himself, almost the same exact verse.
This isn't Isaiah 7:14. I was saying Isaiah wrote what the angel said, but yeah, this is Acts 7:14.
It's Isaiah. It's a misprint in there.
Is it?
Yeah, I had it. Wait, the original, I had her change it.
Okay.
I actually cued it in wrong.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you noticed yesterday, it was Isaiah.
Okay, good.
Because I caught that when we went through the slides. I said, hey, I have to make this correction. So I totally messed that up.
I was
so.
Wondering. I was confused. I was like, they redid that in Acts too?
Yeah, no, they did not. That's the
You're
thing.
You're keeping me on my toes.
Well, when I was actually looking, first time I looked at it, I was like, that's not
Acts. That's not right.
That's not right. So Isaiah 7:14.
There we go.
The Lord himself will give you a sign. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child and she'll give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And I love that. I love that. That's just God reaffirming 700 years before the angel Gabriel comes and talks to Joseph. It's almost the exact same words. Tell me that God isn't on point. I mean, he is.
And there's so much weight of that too, of, you know, the angel could have said anything, but what does the angel do? The angel points back to God's word.
Exactly.
You know, you see Jesus, and I think you're actually going to be talking about this here in the next couple weeks. But we see Jesus where he, you know, is tempted by Satan.
That's next week.
And, okay, I thought it was coming up. And he is, you know, he's tempted by Satan. Satan asked him to, you know, to do this. What does he combat that with? Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him the second thing. It is written. You know,
right.
Jesus goes back to scripture. So I love that the angel is like, hey, you've heard it. said, this is what's going to be happening.
Yeah, because, I mean, he literally says, you know, this all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet,
yes,
Isaiah, and here we go, and he yep. comes up and he says this. But there's just, I think there is just something amazing to know that God is with us. So I asked a question yesterday.
Love this.
Do you believe that God is with you? And I heard a lot of people say yes out loud. But the question is, do you believe God is with you when you're in financial problems or your marriage is on the rocks or you lose your job or something happens or something goes down like COVID? Do you truly, honestly believe that God is with you? So yep. if you do, that's gonna change your yep. outlook. That's gonna change the way that you deal with things. So, you know, I just kind of said that a lot of times we look at our world and it's broken. I mean, yeah. We live in a broken world. I mean, we're struggling. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff taking place, you know, in the government. I mean, there's abortion. There's the LGBTQ movement. There's the transistor. There's so much going on right now. And, I just think that the whole world just seems to be broke. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for the church.
Yep.
I mean, we're all struggling too. I mean, if you look around, people can't forgive each other. They've got marriage problems. There's all kinds of things going on. So I ask another question. Do you believe that there's a hopeful solution?
Mm.
And you have to believe that.
Yep.
Cause I've talked to people where they've kind of like, they don't believe that.
Right.
You know, I mean, is there any power in the universe that can get us, our souls back to where, you know, where they need to be? And I think that we do have a hopeful solution, and
absolutely.
It's Jesus Christ. So, I just said, here's a challenge for you. What does it take to change you?
Mm.
And, yesterday I said, it's so easy for you and me to point our fingers at each other. Well, you need to change here. You'd be a better person. You need to stop doing this. You need, you know, we can point our fingers, but what if you just pointed your fingers and turned them back at yourself?
Right.
Like, what does it take to change me?
And that's so important because it is easy to think of, I mean, even maybe a spouse,
right?
You know, I'm guilty of that, of, you know, seeing things in Allie and be like, oh, she needs to change that. But when I'm doing that, it's like,
she okay, heard that.
She will hear in a little
bit.
She
heard that.
But you know, for me, it's like, oh, but what do I need to change? And I think that was for me one of those kind of aha things yesterday of, you know, it's so easy to point your fingers.
Right.
But before we can do that, we need to be pointing them back at us, saying, okay, well, what do I need to change in me? What do I need to allow? And that's the truth, is that I, on my own, can't change anything.
Not at all.
Without the help of Jesus Christ. And you read Galatians 2:20. Love this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yesterday I said, this is like a 5-week sermon series.
It is. It really could be.
My old self has been crucified with Christ. Boom. There's a sermon. It's no longer I who live. Boom. There's another. But it's Christ who lives in me. Boom. I mean, this thing is so
yep.
a lot in that verse
yep.
for one verse.
Yep.
So, you know, when you look at this, basically yesterday was don't give up. Just don't give up. Cause I know people get tired. We get tired. We're like, you know, I can't do this anymore. You know, give up. Have you ever hurt somebody or have you ever said,
I just give up.
I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Well, the reason we say that is we've come to the end of our rope, right?
Yep.
And so we've extinguished everything that we have in our capabilities and all of our fleshly abilities, but we have not allowed the Spirit of God with us, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, to take us where we need to be. Of course you're going to give yep. up because you're weak. You're weak spiritually. You're weak physically. And that's not a slam.
Right.
That's just what it is. And so you have to tap into the power of the living God who lives inside of you to allow you to get to a place that you can't go by yourself. And this is the point. This is the whole point about God with us and Jesus Christ living in us, is that yes, you're going to feel like you can't do it. The only way you can do it is by Christ
mm-hmm.
living in you, and he's going to be the one that puts you over the top. So yesterday I wanted everybody to take a look at four different examples of people that Jesus didn't give up on. And the first one's Zacchaeus. You like Zacchaeus?
I've been referred to as Zacchaeus a lot.
A wee little man.
A wee little man.
I saw you climb into a sycamore tree.
If you think about it, I hunt a lot, so I do like to climb trees. So
you do.
I mean, Zacchaeus. you know, Zacchaeus and I have a lot in common.
Well, Zacchaeus, unlike you, he's a tax collector.
I am not that.
And he is a thief, and he cheats people, and he makes his living from cheating people, basically. And he's the guy that nobody really wants to be around. And, you know, yesterday I asked people, I'm like, do you remember the song? You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And
I wish you would have sang that.
I could have sang it. But...
Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man. You got to sing it like that, though.
You know, I should have had you come
up.
I just
go back to when I'm five.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, literally that song is kind of good because, you know, it really shows you that Jesus doesn't give up on
exactly
us or Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. And in Luke 19, verse 5, it says, when Jesus came by, he looked up to Zacchaeus, who's in the tree at this time, and he called him by name, which is huge. Zacchaeus didn't know this, right? He didn't realize that Jesus knew his name. He's like, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.
I'm going to your house today. Oh, sorry.
Exactly. So,
I love what you said there too. You're like, how would we feel if like we ran into somebody, like say you and I ran into each other in Walmart and you're like, what are you doing here? You need to go home. Quick, I'm coming to your house.
Go home. I'm going to be a guest in your house today.
I leaned over shout out to Rich Kurtz has stepped up and has been running sound for us some. And, I got to sit with my wife for the first time in probably 2 years. During service.
I haven't sat with my wife in 40 years, but
right, anyway, exactly. Right. And so we're sitting there and you said that and I'm like, as long as he brings the meat for me to smoke, we'll be fine. It's like, he can come over.
Right. So Jesus literally is, what's the word? Jesus literally is zeroing in on Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. This is an accident. This is a planned event for Zacchaeus. And, but you know who doesn't like this is those who are religious. And,
right, shocker.
And, you know, and it's the same today.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the religious people have never changed. I mean, we have people who are religious, who act like Pharisees, who are very judgmental, they're unforgiving. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be this way, do's, don'ts, blah, 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 blah. And it's, I'm just gonna be honest with you, it wears me out. Right. It literally wears me out because the religious leaders are thinking, you know, Zacchaeus doesn't belong. He's a thief. He steals things and he's an outsider. He, you know, and this proves what we're thinking about Jesus. He's really not the Messiah. If he was the Messiah, he wouldn't be hanging out with a guy like this. And so, they're wrong. We know that as you read the story. But after Jesus's visit with Zacchaeus, totally changes Zacchaeus' life. And that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's the second tax collector that Jesus had an encounter with that totally changed his life.
Exactly.
Matthew was the first.
Exactly. So in Luke 19, verses 8 and 9, we read this. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and he said, I will give half the wealth to the poor. Lord, if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give back four times as much. You know, wouldn't that be great if the government did that?
Oh, man.
Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today.
That's great.
Why did salvation come to this house today? Because he's giving back the money? No.
No, because
his heart has been changed.
Change of heart.
He totally has been totally transformed by Jesus Christ. And it goes back to the verse that you read in Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer. That's Zacchaeus. That's Zacchaeus at that
time.
I love what Chuck Swindoll said.
That's so good. You know, in God's provision, and we think about things in our life of like,
nothing's an accident with God.
Nothing is an accident. You look back, it was like, that was planned out perfectly by God. And Chuck Swindoll said, long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, God planted a tree to meet his need.
That's really
good. And you were like, how long in that, you know, before when that seed was planted? 20, 30, 50 years?
Yeah.
You know, but it was there for a purpose.
So tell me that God doesn't, there's nothing as an accident with God. And if you and I could get this into our minds and understand that God has a plan for my life and that as God had a plan for Zacchaeus' life, even though Zacchaeus was off the rails and he was a cheater and a thief and doing all these things, God was already planning for Zacchaeus down the road. You know what I mean? This guy's short. I don't know how short Zacchaeus was. I mean, have you heard, when I was in Bible college, I had, my gospels professor, one time said that he might have been like 4'8" or 4'9". I don't know. Have you heard?
I've heard those kind of in those numbers. Yeah.
That's short.
It is. Cause I'm 5'5" and I'm
short. That's short. I mean, but 4'8" or 4'9" is, how tall is your mom?
5 foot even.
Okay. So he would have been maybe like a couple inches, 3 inches shorter than your mom.
But he'd been about as tall as my aunt.
And your aunt's that like that tall? Mm-hmm. 4'8"?
Yeah, she's probably about 4'10".
How tall is Jordan?
Jordan's about 4'10", 4'11". She's pushing the 5 foot mark.
So how? She's almost. What about Christian?
She's almost as tall as Allie. Christian's about, 4'6", I'd say.
So Zacchaeus is like an inch or two, maybe Bible scholarly say, a couple inches taller than Christian. So that's pretty short for an adult man.
That is not tall.
You know what I mean? So, but I love the fact that in that same chapter with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost."
Mm-hmm.
And this is the picture that we have to get in our mind, because sometimes we think that God's ready to judge us, God's ready to pound us, God's ready to put us to hell, but that's not the case, because, hey, if you're living and breathing today and the second coming hasn't come, and it hasn't. Guess what? He's still seeking to save that which is lost. And Jesus is like, this is why I've come. You know, I've come for you. I've come for Zacchaeus and people who've given up and people who've given up on you. Yep. So it's all about bringing you and I into a right relationship with him. So second person is a sinful woman.
Sinful woman.
You know, or the woman at the well.
AKA the woman at the well.
Exactly. And this is a...
There's so much.
This The problem with what I did yesterday was I literally was skipping a rock across the surface. Like barely skimming the surface.
Because you could do a three week sermon series just on the woman at the well.
Exactly.
In that account.
Exactly. Jesus encounters her again, not by accident.
And you got to realize,
not by accident.
It's about midday. She's the only one coming to the well to draw water. The reason is because she's probably been shunned by the town people.
The women
don't want to be around her, and when they are around her, I'd say they probably are verbally abusive, and that's why she's coming out by herself in the heat of the
passive aggressive,
right?
You know. I mean, I'm not slamming, it's not a slam, but sometimes, I mean, women can sometimes be really hard on, you know, guys are hard, but sometimes women are hard.
Exactly. And so she comes out, you know, she's probably not liked because of her living conditions and her past. And Jesus has this encounter with her. And you said, you know, Jesus, he doesn't really hold anything back. Now he says what he says to her in grace, but.
Because he's not trying.
But he's honest with her.
He's not trying to push her.
Exactly.
He's trying to pull her to him.
Exactly. And so we see this in John 4:18. He says this to her. He says, "You've had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now." And he was just pointing out the truth, because he was talking and they were having this dialogue back and forth, and she was wanting him to tell her more. And he's like, "You know, go get your husband." He knew the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
"Go get your husband. And bring him back." And she was like, "Well, I don't have a husband." He's like, "You're right. You've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband."
Talk about grabbing your attention. I mean, surely.
She never seen Jesus before. She's exactly. Like, how does he know that?
And so I love that Jesus just dives, you know, how do you say? He dives right into the heart of the matter, but he dives with a grace and compassion. Mm-hmm. Again, he is trying to get this woman to see things from a different perspective. And you know, here's the thing that when I read this story, he didn't care what she'd done at that point. Am I right? He didn't care what she's been involved in. What he's trying to do is give her a chance to start all over again. And I said yesterday that I used to say that Jesus is a Jesus of second chances.
Right.
But I ask everybody, raise your hand if you've already used your second chance.
Truth.
So it's like Jesus is a Jesus of another chance.
Second chances.
I think I used my second chance back in 1977. So, I mean, that's been a long time ago. So I'm way down the road, from that.
And, right.
But Jesus does, he is that. And so, but you have to understand, I think you've already, you know, kind of alluded to this. This woman's not a Jew, and, they thought the message of Jesus was just,
for the
God. For the people of God. But it's clear that Jesus is leveling this message down for her and for everybody else. And so after their talk, this is what happens in John chapter 4 verses 28 through 30. "The woman left her water jar beside the well, and she ran back to the village telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' So the people came streaming from the village to see him." Now, here's what's unique about this. And, you know, you've already kind of gave the off story. She's there at this at the Wealth of Midday. She's not there with the other women, but she actually goes running back into town to tell them what has been said. And they're not ignoring her.
Right.
They're listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me this is not God working, exactly. God with us.
And you said, you know, she becomes like the biggest
evangelist. She's like Billy Graham.
Right.
Yeah. So here's the end of the story. John chapter 4, verses 39 and 40. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village.
And they were pretty, I mean, that's them saying, "Hey, tell us more."
Exactly.
Teach us. The third example. Mm-hmm. Love this guy.
And I just surely totally shortchanged this guy.
I know. Again, another 6 weeks. Series on this guy alone.
Sure.
Because he comes up later on and we're going to actually see him next week.
Yes.
Again.
I think so.
There's a lot coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And you said, you know, the Pharisees kind of get a bad rap, but just like there are good Christians and bad Christians today, there were good Pharisees.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus was really hard on the Pharisees.
Exactly.
But we see, you know, when Jesus dies that there were a couple of Pharisees who were secret followers of Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, they were trying to, you know, still uphold their reputation as a Pharisee, but yet they knew there was something different about Jesus. They knew he was legit.
The thing about Nicodemus, and, you know, if I could relate this into our terms today, is he really is kind of like the American person. I mean, he's wealthy, he's successful, he's learned.
Got it all.
Yeah, he's educated. I mean, Nicodemus is like, you know, he's the guy that you would respect, actually, you know.
Right.
He's kind of got that all together. So, and like you said, he's doesn't really want to meet Jesus because of his reputation during the day.
Right. So he meets him at night.
He meets him at night. And so they get to talking. And there's a huge discussion. And again, you should read it in John chapter 3. But John 3, verses 3 through 5, here's what he says. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you're born of water, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Mm. And so Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus, would you agree, to not to look at what you can see,
right,
but to see the kingdom for what it is.
Exactly.
This is a fine line for everybody.
Right.
I mean, that's still the same for us today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kingdom are you walking in?
Right.
I mean, it's a fine line. And in this conversation, we get the most popular Bible verse.
You see it at football games.
In the universe.
You see it on people's arms and everything. John 3:16.
Exactly.
"For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting light." And you used the word that whosoever believes in him, and you said, who is whosoever?
Right. That's liars.
Liars, cheaters, murderers.
It's you, that's me.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
We have the opportunity because God so loved the world, because God knew that he was the only way for redemption.
And that verse goes along with a verse we read earlier in, what was it, with Zacchaeus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Right.
You know, that's that verse right there. That's, see how everything's so relatable to Jesus Christ and what that's supposed to be? So I mean, this is actually not a Christmas verse, but it could be that, you know, this was already prearranged before the creation of the world. God knew what was going to happen. So, I mean, you talk about hope, for you and I. And then the fourth person is you.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. This is the beauty of this.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe somebody listening today, you've kind of given up. You've given up on yourself. You think maybe other people have given up on you. And I know we've gotten in some bad things in our life. I know that, we've said things, done things, maybe we've done things that nobody even knows that we've done. You know, it's just,
Right.
God knows.
Right.
And so you beat yourself up, you shame yourself, you guilt yourself. But I need to tell you, and you need to believe this, that Jesus really wants a relationship. He wants you to come back.
Right.
It's a satanic thing to live in guilt, shame, and all those things, to think that you can't come to Christ.
Right.
That's a total lie. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Guess what that is? That's God with us, Jesus.
Yes,
and that's amazing.
Yep. You read Romans 5:8, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us." And here's the kicker: while we were still sinners. And I've heard this. You said you've heard this. People are like, you know what? I'll start going to church when I get my life together. I'll give my life to Christ. I'll get baptized when I'm a better person. I'll get baptized when I get this sin under control.
Right.
Well, your problem with those statements is one word: I.
You.
When I get this under control.
Exactly.
When I. We can't get there without the help of God through the Holy Spirit.
And it's while you are a
sinner. And I loved your point. You said, who in here, raise your hand if you've been a Christian for more than 20 years. I'm assuming
we had a lot of people raise their hands.
And you said, okay, put your hands down. Now, you who just raised your hands, let me know if you have sinned.
Yeah. How many of you are perfect in here?
Exactly.
Like,
hey, how many of
and
you
nobody raised their
no
hand.
No one raised their
so
hand.
So I'm like, so you guys have sinned? You guys have just sinned?
Exactly. And so that's the point, is we are sinners.
We are.
This is the big thing, our world tries to say, you know what? God is love and God is grace and God is mercy and God forgives. And so I can do whatever I want and God forgives me. It's not what this is saying. You know, Paul addresses that. He's like, well, should we continue to sin so we can have even more grace?
Yep.
You were bringing that verse up coming up soon?
Maybe.
Too? I think so.
Yeah.
I've been looking through your outlines, getting music and
stuff
ready. But, you know, Paul's like, absolutely not. You know, just because, you know, we have grace and mercy doesn't mean we abuse it. Now, that's my words, not Paul's.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right about that. God's grace, compassion, and mercy doesn't give me a license to sin and to dive into that stuff, but it covers my sin.
Absolutely.
It covers my sin. So when I act out, like say I say something or I do something that it's an actual sin moment, guess what? I may feel bad about it, but I confess that back to God and boom, it's taken care of. That's the grace and the mercy that covers me, because guess what? I'm covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Am I not?
Absolutely.
And so here's how this works, is that Jesus died for that. God realized that I'm not going to be perfect. He knows that I'm human. And so that grace is, and that mercy is going to cover me, but it doesn't cover me when I decide to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to jump into a long-term affair with this lady, and that's the way it's going to be, because guess what? God's grace,
God
love, and mercy
me.
Going to cover me.
Right.
No, it ain't going to cover me at all, because
right.
I made a conscious decision that this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm choosing to do this other than just I messed up.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
what you're saying there in that moment, and you know, you get a long-term relationship, it's like, you know what? This is okay because he gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
He gets me.
I know. I'm going to beat that one. It's like beating a dead
You know what?
Horse
I'm so glad
me.
You get me. I'm right. so glad you get me when it comes to the weather and
coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
Espressos. It must be nice to come in and not have to make your own coffee and espresso.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It really is nice.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice. It's like when I get here and Brandon's not here, I start texting him, "Where's my coffee? Where's my espresso?" And
he's like, "He's not joking." He is not joking.
It's all a joke, though.
What was the one day you sent me your Bitmo? Oh, no, that was the other day when you were waiting for me to pick you up to go to Texas Day Brazil. I got your Bitmoji, like tapping your watch, and you said, "I'm waiting."
I did. You're like, "What is he doing?"
We were early.
Peter Marshall said this literally 50 years ago. God hasn't given up on you. He can still do great things for you, in you, and through you. Mm. God is ready and waiting and able. That's so awesome, because God's waiting for you and I to make the conscious decision that I'm going to do this for you, God. I'm going to give you my heart. And so God's waiting and able for that. So this is your next favorite verse, isn't it?
This is one of my favorites, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I love that imagery.
Right.
And in Colossians, we have been in Colossians with our students on Sunday nights. You know, Paul talks to that church about, you know, taking off kind of that old, right, garment and putting on a new garment. That's exactly what he's talking about right here. He goes on in verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And see, it all goes back to Christ.
Everything.
It's not on, it doesn't say all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to him because you were so good. No,
right.
Through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And now that's kind of where the tables turn. Again, this is another verse where we could spend 5 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So if we have been brought back to God through Christ, we now have a responsibility, this says.
Exactly.
To reconcile people to him, to tell the world about him, kind of Jesus's great commission, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
I love this verse because it doesn't allow you to get off the hook.
Exactly.
Because you can't say, well, you know, I don't really want to offend them, so I'm not going to tell them about this. You know, your only purpose in life, you think it's to live your life and to raise your family and get your 401k and retire and travel in your RV or, you know, fly or go on cruises when you retire, and it's just to kind of get through the raindrops. No, your only purpose in life, if you're mm-hmm. a Christian, is to bring somebody close to God and to tell them yep. about Jesus Christ. Now, he allows you to do all those things right. in the process, but it is you and Jesus. And this is the thing that the Christian community, we've dropped the ball as long as I've been alive.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've only seen a handful of people who just, it's me and the message of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're so wrapped up in ourselves and what we do and the things that we're involved in. Jesus is an add-on. You know what? Shame on us, man. Shame on us.
Yeah.
You know what? I used to frustrate me. It used to irritate me. Now I'm just sad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sad about it.
And here's the truth. The other truth of those verses and something that I've heard through the years too is that, well, it's not my job. That's a minister's job. Not at all.
You are a minister.
Exactly. You're a minister of Jesus Christ when you accept him as your savior. And if you read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19, that's going to tell you
exactly.
God has given us this task. It doesn't say God has given this task to preachers. No. God has given this task to ministers. No, God has given us this task. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ.
Exactly.
And he's given us this task. If we are found in him,
exactly.
we have the task of reconciling people to him. That's you, that's
exactly.
me, that's someone who works at Walmart, that's someone who is still going to school, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
We all have that responsibility, that task. I like that word too.
Yep.
It's a task.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something you have to do. A task is something that's like, okay, I've got to get this done.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
So we have to view it that way of,
100%.
Well, you know, if it gets brought up or whatever, no.
Exactly.
And here's the other thing that we have to remember is, guess what? If you live your life in a way that honors God, you're gonna have opportunities to tell people because you're gonna stand out, and that's gonna bring up conversations of, hey, why didn't you react like that?
Right.
Hey, why didn't you say something? Hey, why are you different in this area?
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna open up a door for you to help reconcile people to God.
And that's
and once
huge.
It's in their court, once the ball's in their court,
right.
you can't make the decision for them.
Not at all.
But we have a responsibility to at least tell them.
Exactly. And I think everybody listening and you would agree that there's so many things in our life that pulls us off track. I mean, that's Satan's job. Our job is to stay pointed on. Satan's job is to pull me off track. But we have 100%. To remember that God and the Spirit of God, God with us, Jesus Christ, Spirit in me, is much more powerful than what Satan can get and work in my life. But there are things that pull me off track because, you know, there's one temptation after another. And I said yesterday, I was like, here's what happens. We get tempted. And then we give in to temptation and we sin.
Yep.
And then you feel guilty and shameful. And then you repent of that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And you still feel guilty and shameful, but you work it out. And then you, same thing happens again. And you get on this rat wheel.
It's rat wheel.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's like a hamster.
It is. It's just like that. And it happens so much sometimes to Christians. I've literally heard people say, you know what? I'm done trying.
Right.
I give up.
Yep.
Well, good. I'm glad you're done trying.
Guess what?
Now you're at the place where you need to be. Now right. you need to turn this over to God and allow God to work in your heart yep. and your life. And this is, and I don't really know how to explain this in words, but I tried to yesterday. This is the fine hairy line between you and releasing it to God.
Right.
And I'm telling you, once you do it, you know it. You know it because God swoops in and gives you this, overwhelmingly peace mm-hmm. about what you are, you know, what you have to do. So, yep. But jumped into kind of ended this thing out yesterday, you know, jumping into the book of Acts and,
Day of Pentecost.
And I love the book of Acts. And if you look at Peter, he is, you know, what, I don't know how many weeks have passed, like, what was it, since Jesus had risen from the grave when he did this? Was this like, do you remember? Is it like, there's ascension. I'm thinking out loud. I can't, it's a couple months.
Couple months.
3 months?
2-3 months, I think, somewhere in there.
I can't remember, let's say 2-3 months after the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
And Peter's up on the day of Pentecost and he's preaching. Now you have to remember, just 2-3 months ago, Peter denied Jesus that he ever knew him.
Yeah.
And he swore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some versions say that he swore. He pulled down
right.
curses.
Yes.
Like, I do not. I mean, so it's whatever, blank, blank, blank. I do not know right. Jesus Christ. And so now he's up on the day of Pentecost and he's a total about face.
Mm-hmm.
He is like hard nose at the beginning of this. Am I right? I mean,
right.
he's hard nose about this. So Peter's preaching and in Acts 2 verses 22 through 24, he says, people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what was going to happen. I love this part. And his prearranged plan, this means that God knew it was going to happen. You guys think
dude, he's getting ready to spit fire at him.
Yeah. Was carried out when Jesus was betrayed with the help of lawless Gentiles. I love this. You nailed Jesus to the cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and that raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grips. I mean, Peter is leveling down on this. He's truthful. Some of the people in the crowd were some of the same people who helped crucify Jesus
yep.
Christ. So he's like, you guys did this. You guys are the ones that did this. Then Peter says in Acts 2 verses 36 and 7, a few verses later down, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. There he goes again.
Yep.
Both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts and they said to him and to the other apostles, well, brothers, what should we do? And the people are ready. Peter has primed them. He got yep. them ready to roll. And I said yesterday, there's three ways that you and I can respond to this message or any message when you hear the gospel of Jesus. Number one is conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love
it. And I think, you know, this isn't a pick and choose. This is an in order ways that we
yes,
respond.
Exactly. So you're convicted. In verse 37, what's it say? Peter's words pierced their hearts.
Their hearts.
Means it didn't just touch it and bounce off. It
right.
means it penetrated the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The message was heard and Jesus was going to change some lives here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that means when you hear the message of the gospel and your heart's been pierced and you've been convicted, you can't say, hey, we going to Culver's or Bob Evans today,
right?
After church, or we? What are we going? No, you're totally convicted by the message
it moves
that you have to change.
Change, right?
Second, you have to repent.
Yeah.
Acts 2:38.
2:38.
I couldn't see it because
yeah.
it was a glare.
It says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God."
And what's that mean? It means you're going away from God.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're going to go back toward God,
yep.
and you go God's way. It means that you're done saying, you know what, I got control of this ship. God is the one who takes control of what I'm going to do. I'm along for
yep.
the ride now. And this
yep.
is going to be hard for a lot of us, hard for most of us
yep.
to do. Hard to go along for the ride and trust God to know that he's got this. The third thing is baptism. In Acts 2:38, again, it says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is an awesome
mm-hmm.
gift. Everybody who's baptized gets this.
Yep.
It's not like, oh, well, you know what? Brandon doesn't know really a lot about God, so he doesn't get the gift.
Right.
No, I mean, as soon as you're baptized, boom, it's a promise you have the gift
right.
of the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's God with us. That's Jesus
right.
inside
right.
of us. Am
right.
I right?
Yep.
So after you are convicted and you believe and you repent and you are baptized and now in Acts 2:41, here's what happened. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and were added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all.
3,000.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Mm.
I would have loved
That's
to
awesome.
Seen that. So I think that if you're listening today and you've not been baptized, you need to do it.
Yep.
It's just, if you believe in God, if you believe that Jesus was, that he died and rose again, and you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that's the starting place for you and me. You believe that you can have your sins forgiven, you come to him. I mean, this is a huge, huge thing, and I know we fight our past, and I know we fight yep. The way we were brought up, but we have to fight that because we have to let go of that. We have to go and see, what does God's word say about that? And don't twist it. Don't try to make it to the way you were brought up or to the way your belief system or your denomination. Just listen to the words of God and what God has to say to you. 1 Peter 3:21.
I love this.
It says, and that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. This is awesome. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus is still dead, decayed in bones in that tomb, there's no way we're that's going to be
and I love that we kind of closed out after the message. We sang how great thou art, and then a double chorus of because he lives. And it's like, you know what, if he didn't raise from the tomb, then what we were doing would be null and void. Like
exactly,
it wouldn't really matter. But because he lives, because God raised him from the dead, because he defeated death, because he walked out of the tomb, he was who he said he was.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just amazed of how much God loves us. And you know, when I was younger, I used to think that God was ready for me to step out of line.
Right.
But I don't think that way anymore.
Yep.
I know that God loves me, and I know that he's not waiting for me to step out of line. He's I'm going to step out of line, and he has given me provisions to come back to where, I need to be. And, you know, it's a process that when you start thinking about it, it's humbling when you think about it, how much he loves you.
Absolutely.
And how much he's with you and how much he never gives up on you. So I love that about God. So. Well, good day yesterday, and
it was good. Yep,
got a few things coming up. Right for the life of me, we've got Good Friday services coming up on the 29th of March at 6 p.m. Hope you guys join us. We're going to do communion and just kind of lead our hearts toward Easter Sunday, and then we got Easter Sunday, March 31st at 9 and 10:30. Hope you guys join us for that. And on March the 14th, we have pizza with the staff.
April 14th.
April 14th, right, because we're already past March 14th.
That was your wife's birthday.
Exactly. April 14th, we have pizza with the staff. That's right after church. If you're new to RCC, would like to come and just have pizza with us, and we'd love to have you. We'll tell you a little bit about the church and a little bit about us so you guys get to know us a little bit. You can sign up at richwood.church/signup, correct?
Correct.
And then on April 14th, for 4 weeks on Sunday nights, we're having, you know, four marriage, sessions, and, it's called the Crazy Cycle.
Yes.
And that is from 5 to 6.
Oh, that's the session.
Exactly.
I thought you were talking about marriage.
It is that sometimes.
Okay.
That's from 5 to 6 o'clock, and we will have childcare, so you can sign up if you want to do that. You can make note of how many kids you're going to bring, and so we can prepare for that. But you can sign up at richwood.church/signup. Yesterday we had the video for this, and I got up and said, you know, the Crazy Cycle, and you know, how many have been on the crazy? Well, don't answer that because I don't want you on the Crazy Cycle.
Exactly.
But everybody's been on the Crazy Cycle.
Oh, there, absolutely,
right? Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got, I know this is coming up, down the path, but, we've got, starting on Mother's Day, what is that, like the 12th of May, we start our baby bottle campaign for New Path Pregnancy.
There we go.
Center. So that goes from Mother's Day to Father's Day, where you take a baby bottle home, fill it with money, checks, change, cash, whatever.
Gold coins.
Diamonds.
I don't know who's got diamonds laying around.
But you do.
I don't. I don't.
Oh goodness! I don't know what else is going on. You made a couple announcements yesterday. I can't remember.
So there's a women's Bible study coming up starting in April. You can find out more information on that by going to richwood.church/women.
Yep.
Richwood Christian Preschool. Registration is available for the RCC family. Okay. It will open up on April 1st for the public. So if April Fool's Day. So if you are, we're going to podcast. That's a Monday, I think.
Is it?
I think it's the day after Easter.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
We'll be tired. But anyway, so, you can go to richwood.church/ I don't know.
Preschool.
If not, just go to richwood.church and follow the preschool links page, to the preschool
right,
page.
Right.
You can find out more information there, print off a, application, all of that fun stuff. And then also, summer camp for Round Lake has opened up. And, if you are part of the RCC family, we have, a discount code that if your kids are going to camp, you can swing into the Welcome Center, grab that postcard. It's got the discount code on it, so you can sign up, and just a great opportunity to be able to get your kid to summer camp this summer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to sign them up, I would sign them up quick because registration fills up really fast.
We had several people sign up yesterday is what I've heard, so that's awesome.
Yep, for camp.
For camp, yeah. Yep, that was great, so... but anyway, that's pretty much the lowdown.
There's the lowdown.
So
as far as I know, that's it.
We got a cold week ahead of us, but
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to run outside.
It's always warm when we have coffee. So that's going
to
be
and the heater's cranked up to 11. So
it's getting pretty toasty in here.
I'm ready for a nap.
I feel like a piece of toast, actually. Don't say it, bro. I saw something in his eyes and no. Don't say it. Whatever you're going to say, just don't say it.
I don't even know what I was going to say.
You were going to say
something. There
was something
in my eyes.
Yeah. I was like,
I was trying to think of something smart, but thankfully I didn't. Yeah. So we're
I caught
just gonna
you.
Move
I saved
on,
you.
You did. You I saved you.
I saved you. Oh, yeah. I saved me. Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. Well, hey, have a great week.
I will.
Stay warm.
Oh,
stay
yeah.
Stay happy.
Oh,
stay
yeah.
Stay joyful.
You know what? I'm always warm and happy.
Stay joyful, because you may not stay happy.
Okay.
But your
I'll
joy,
stay joyful.
Your joy comes from the Lord.
And we have week two of our series coming up on Sunday, so I hope you guys join us. Bring your families back and bring your kids. And good to see you guys last week. And we were talking second week, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be good.
Yep.
Have a great week, everybody.